Good evening and welcome to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. On our show, we discuss topics from A to Z, and our listeners call from Singapore to Montana, from California to New York. Our goal is to inform our listeners, and our listeners inform us as well. Let's start the show.
This broadcast of the PJC Media Network seeks to present wholesome, thought-provoking, and entertaining content. However, the views expressed by the hosts of PJC Media are theirs and theirs alone. They do not reflect the views of this network or its affiliates. Please utilize listener discretion.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm your host today, Maceo Coleman. And we will be joined shortly by the hostess with the mostest, Ms. Jenny White. And welcome to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show. Today we'll be talking about everything that's been in the news for the past week, the Israel and Hamas war going on in Israel. Hamas has attacked Israel and threatened to murder, kidnap victims. This dispute over land rights and an equal state for Palestinians has been going on for over 70 years. Hamas is supported and financed by Iran. This war is causing chaos in the Middle East, and Israel has told over 1 million people in Gaza that they have 24 hours to evacuate before they begin bombing and a land assault. Just like to say that this is what Hamas would refer to as a holy war based on biblical things that have been going on for not only decades, but for years with the dispute between the Israelis and the Palestinians, and the Palestinians wanting equal rights. I'm going to start with a few names for reference. And one is the Prime Minister of Israel is Netanyahu, who was just recently voted back in after a he had a scandal, and he left office and was recently voted back in. And his cabinet consists of not only is he supposed to be more of a liberal leader, but his cabinet consists of similar to our Republican candidates and Tea Partiers and MAGA Republicans. He has nominated some people in for certain positions that have an opposition such as theirs. And so it's been real controversial. Hamas, which is the group that launched the attack on Israel, a surprise attack, we might add, they say that they are related to the Sunni branch of Islam along with the majority of the Islamic world, and Hezbollah, which is another group over there that ascribes to the Shia branch of Islam, like Iran. And if you have any questions or would like to make a comment, feel free, press the one on your phone. We'll get you in, and we can go from there. And I think that we have a surprise guest. Hello, hello. How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Good, good. We got Jenny White. All right.
Yes.
Yeah. So, what do you think about the war?
Just wanted to hang out with you guys.
Oh yeah. Well, we appreciate it. The show's named after you. So.
Oh. Okay.
So what do you think about this this war over in Israel? What do you think is going on over there?
Oh, man. I have no idea. It just came right off, you know. Nobody, well, I guess someone else did, some of them, the Hamas. But that was really something. They are taking people and they're cutting people's heads off. And just, oh, my gosh, I've never heard of that. And children, adults, they don't care. So it's really kind of going, and I don't think they're going to stop anytime, you know, not soon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a bad time over there, and they do have over 100 kidnapped victims, some believed to be American. They said that more than 1,900 people are dead in Gaza and 1,300 dead in Israel. So it's a lot going on over there. And they say the median age of the people in Gaza is 18 years old. So over 50% of the 2 million people in Gaza are younger than 18. So it's a young population over there. And Israel has ordered no food, no water, no electricity, and no fuel to Gaza. So the people over there, you know, starving for water and food, and it's dark, and, you know, it's just, it's not good. It's not good.
It's horrible. And I don't think they have any help. I do not think they have any help from anybody.
Well, Egypt has closed their border. They don't want, you know, a million people rushing over to Egypt. So they've closed their border.
Oh, my gosh. How can they do that?
Well, war is war. You know, war is war. Hamas has said that they would start killing kidnapped victims if Israel bombs them without warning. So Israel gave you know, everybody in Gaza 24 hours to get out of there before they start bombing.
Oh,
so,
they did.
Yeah, so they're, you know, pushing the people to southern Gaza. But they can't go to Egypt. And, you know, this is the largest evacuation since 1948, when over 750,000 Palestinians fled from their home. They've got shortages in supplies and in the Gaza hospitals. And it's, you know, it's been a long, ongoing dispute and battle for property and land in that part of the world by the West Bank. 7 million Jews and 7 million Palestinians, you know, ruled by Israel, don't feel that they have basic civil rights and live in a system of inequality. And so it's really been a bad situation. I think it's going to get worse before it gets better.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so.
A lot of people have not been found. They don't know where they are. And it's just, you know, it's really bad. That's really bad, but I can't understand why would you want to capture someone, you know? Why can't you just let them alone? I mean, if you're shooting or killing someone in their home, I mean, I don't understand why you want to take somebody home with you. I think they're just killing people. They're killing kids. They're cutting off people's heads.
They don't care. You must not have heard of the war over in Rwanda and things like that over in Africa, between the Hindus and the don't give me the line here. But over in Africa and Rwanda, I mean, you had groups that opposed each other that were doing the same thing. You know, you had over in Africa, you know, at one point a group who kidnapped, you know, all the girls from the girls' schools and raped them and got them pregnant and sent them back, you know. And so there's been a lot of atrocities all over the world. I mean, we're just dealing with this one right now.
I just haven't listened. I don't listen to all those. It was just kind of got me when they were saying they were, messing with the ladies, taking their clothes off, you know, and just do whatever.
It's war. It's war. These aren't friendly games.
Okay.
It's war. Anything goes. I mean, you know, they're dropping bombs and showing how the shrapnel or the bombs are devastating cars and property, you know. So
okay, but if that's a fight, I haven't heard anyway say anything about the other side. Are they fighting back? I haven't heard any of that.
Well, Israel right now has tanks and fighters ready to invade Gaza, where Hamas...
Ready. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, they know that it's going to be a bunch of innocent victims, and then they've got, you know, kidnapped people, so they're just not going to just start bombing, and, you know, it's a whole lot of collateral damage when Hamas is, you know, they've got land bombs and things, and they're really waiting for Israel to run in there for a ground fight so that the Israel troops can be devastated. So, you know, they're trying to be strategic but act appropriately and act fast. So, you know, you just don't run and react immediately. You know, you have to strategize. The bad thing about it is their counterintelligence, you know, it's like, okay, with all this intelligence, how did you let them surprise you, surprise and attack from the land, from the sea, and the air? You know, how did Israel let that happen? So somebody was sleeping on the
Maybe
job.
Maybe they were asleep.
Oh, for sure they were asleep because they got snuck on. Hamas came and snuck on them, you know, and so just going to give you a little background. You know, there were it was a big desert party with a lot of young people hanging out, and Hamas came into this desert party, shot up a lot of people and kidnapped a lot of people. And I mean, some of the pictures are horrific as far as the amount of blood, the innocent people that have been murdered, the dead bodies in the street, you know, babies have been shot and killed, whole families have come up missing. And it says, you know, the fighting between Israel and Hamas, which launched a surprise attack on Saturday, is the latest in 7 decades of war and conflict between Israelis and Palestinians that has drawn in outside powers and de-established the wider Middle East. And so the origins of the conflict pits Israeli demands for security in what it has long regarded as a hostile region against Palestinian aspirations for a state of their own. Israel's founding father, David Ben Gurion, proclaimed the modern state of Israel on May 14, 1948, establishing a safe haven for Jews fleeing persecution and seeking a national home on land to which they cite deep ties over generations. Palestinians lament Israel's creation as the Nakba, or catastrophe, that resulted in their dispossession and blocked their dreams of statehood. In the war that followed, some 700,000 Palestinians, half the Arab population of what was British-ruled Palestine, fled or were driven from their homes, ending up in Jordan, Lebanon, and Syria, as well as in Gaza, the West Bank, and East Jerusalem. Israel, a close U.S. ally, contests the assertion it drove Palestinians from their homes and points out it was attacked by five Arab states the day after its creation. Armistice Pact halted the fighting in 1949, but there was no formal peace. Palestinians who stayed put in the war today form Arab-Israeli community, making up about 20% of Israel's population. What major wars have been fought since then? In 1967, Israel made a preemptive strike against Egypt and Syria, launching the Six-Day War. Israel has occupied...
Oh, just 6 days.
Yes,
six-day war.
This one won't. No, it's about to pass that by tomorrow. Today is the sixth day. Israel has occupied the West Bank, Arab East Jerusalem, which it captured from Jordan and Syria's Golan Heights ever since. So Israel has occupied the West Bank and Arab East Jerusalem. In 1973, Egypt and Syria attacked Israeli positions along the Suez Canal and Golan Heights, beginning the Yom Kippur War. Israel pushed both armies back within 3 weeks. I think back Egypt in 1973, I think that was Sadat, who was the prime minister over in Egypt. Israel invaded Lebanon in 1982, and thousands of Palestinian fighters under Yasser Arafat were evacuated by sea after a 10-week siege. In 2006, war erupted in Lebanon again when Hezbollah militants captured two Israeli soldiers and Israel retaliated. In 2005, Israel quit Gaza, which it had captured from Egypt in 1967. But Gaza saw major flare-ups in 2006, 2008, 2012, 2014, and 2021 that involved Israeli air raids and Palestinian rocket fire, and sometimes also cross-border incursions by either side. As well as wars, there have been two Palestinian intifadas or uprisings between 1987 and 1993, and again in 2000 to 2005. The second saw waves of Hamas suicide bombings against Israelis. Mm-hmm. And then you may ask, what attempts have there been made to broker peace? Well, since you asked, in 1979, Egypt and Israel signed a peace treaty ending 30 years of hostility. In 1993, Israeli Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin and Arafat shook hands on the Oslo Accords on limited Palestinian autonomy. They came to a peace treaty, so they shook hands. That was Yitzhak Rabin and Arafat. So in 1994, Israel signed a peace treaty with Jordan. All right. The first in 79 was a peace treaty with Egypt and Israel. Ending 30 years of hostility in 1993, Israel Prime Minister shook hands. And then Camp David summit in 2000 saw President Bill Clinton, Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Barak, and Arafat failed to reach a final peace deal. So in 2002, an Arab plan offered Israel normal ties with all Arab countries in return for a full withdrawal from the lands it took in the 1967 Middle East War, creation of a Palestinian state, and a just solution for Palestinian refugees. Now, this is in 2002. An Arab plan was offered. They offered Israel. Peace efforts have been stalled since 2014 when talks failed between Israelis and Palestinians in Washington. Palestinians later boycotted dealing with the administration of U.S. President Donald Trump, since it reversed decades of U.S. policy by refusing to endorse the two-state solution. The peace formula that envisages a Palestinian state established in territory that Israel captured in 1967. So you ask, where do the peace efforts stand now? Well, the administration of the U.S., President Joe Biden, has focused on trying to secure a grand bargain in the Middle East that includes normalization of relations between Israel and Saudi Arabia, custodian of Islam's two holiest shrines. The latest war is diplomatically awkward for Riyadh as well as for other Arab states, including some Gulf Arab states next to Saudi Arabia that have signed peace deals with Israel. Now, Israel has an atomic bomb. So what are the main... Oh, yeah. So what are the main Israeli-Palestinian issues?
Well, they better get it out.
Well, I don't think they, you know, that ain't the answer.
So,
what are the main Israeli-Palestinian issues? Well, a two-state solution, Israeli settlements, the status of Jerusalem, and refugees are all at the core of the dispute. Two-state solution, an agreement that would create a state for the Palestinians in the West Bank and Gaza Strip, alongside Israel. Hamas rejects the two-state solution and is sworn to Israelis' destruction. Israel has said a Palestinian state must be demilitarized. Israel has said a Palestinian state must be demilitarized so as not to threaten Israel. So Israel, like, okay, we can be cool as long as y'all don't have no army or y'all don't have a way to fight us. So you're not a threat. So settlements. Most countries deem Jewish settlements built on land Israel occupied in 1967 as illegal. Most countries deem Jewish settlements built on land Israel occupied in 1967 as illegal. Israel disputes this and cites historical and biblical ties to the land. Their continued expansion is among the most contentious issues between Israel, the Palestinians, and the international community. Jerusalem, Palestinians want East Jerusalem, which includes sites sacred to Muslims, Jews, and Christians, to be the capital of their state.
I've been trying to listen to you, but something came into my head. You were saying, because I thought only that they just started, and you say this is what, the 30th or something?
Oh, they've been going through this for over 70 years. This isn't
no
new.
But they just now started, right?
What you mean?
They didn't just now start, did they? That's what I'm saying. Because evidently Israel has not started fighting back.
They've got a defense called the Iron Dome that they've been blocking the rockets and things that Hamas has been sending over there. Now, I believe that Israel has formed some type of counterattack, but they are right now getting ready for an extensive attack in Gaza. So they haven't gone into Gaza yet. They're trying to be strategic. But they've got top secret Hamas documents showing the terrorists intentionally targeted elementary schools to kidnap kids. And that was on a Saturday. So, they said it wasn't a lot of kids at school on Saturday. So, the Palestinians want East Jerusalem, which includes sites sacred to Muslims, Jews, and Christians, to be the capital of their state. Israel says Jerusalem should remain its indivisible and eternal capital. Israel's claim to the eastern part of Jerusalem is not recognized internationally. Trump recognized Jerusalem as Israel's capital without specifying the extent of its jurisdiction in the disputed city and moved the U.S. embassy there in 2018. So that's what Trump did. So refugees.
Okay, well, you have someone that's trying to say something.
Okay, well, we've got a caller chime in. Welcome to the Jenny, Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show, caller. You're on.
And how are you this evening? Yes, how are you this evening?
Wonderful.
I'm talking about Israel. The problem is this. Israel, when they do something, they have the entire world to look at. Because everything is always focused on Israel, what they do, how they do. So they have to not only, defend themselves, but do it in a way where the outside communities, won't just judge them. Right now, Israel is under sanction as far as their products are concerned. They're attacking their economy. They're boycotting their products and things like that all over. So that their economy is going down because of that. Not only that, like you mentioned, the Iron Dome. Now, it was during the Obama administration that Obama, the prime minister, not the prime minister, but the ambassador, was on the program, The Night to Honor Israel, with John Hagee. And he pointed out how Obama was instrumental in helping them put together that dome system as a help. He made that clear. that it was a real help. I noticed when they had started fighting again, a lot of people talked to Obama about that. He said they do have a right to protect themselves. That's their right, you know. Obama came up with a program, I think, if I can remember, that he was going to pay so much to Iran and Iraq to calm down their study with Russia on building the atomic bomb and all this other stuff. So he paid some money to try to bring some kind of stability to the that community, because I remember the late Colin Powell was in agreement with what he was trying to do. What they did was, with the money, instead of making it be humanitarian, what they did was they started buying more bombs and, you know, using the money with the military, Muslim military, you know, Hamas and all of this, against Israel. And see, Biden's getting ready to do something like that soon also, you know, and they're saying if he does that, it only makes them stronger to come up against Israel. This is a big thing right now. I've been reading it, what he's getting ready to do, and they blame Obama for what.
Isn't he trying to get some of the Americans back over here?
I heard Trump say, yeah, I could get them over there and there wouldn't have to be any problem. You know, he was saying,
Nobody wants to hear that.
All of this. But this is a big problem. Whatever they do, they have to do it in such a way where they don't get too much of a backlash from outside. I don't even know if the Jews are in the UN right now, United Nations. I don't know if they've been sanctioned or whatever. But whatever they do, they have to do it in such a way, you know, that they don't get too much backlash from the public. And this is what they're doing. They have to send notices out saying, we're going to bomb this place. Y'all can get out. And then every time, I think it was during the 67 war, where they took all that property, they won back all that property and stuff, the United States, if I'm not mistaken, the United States, because we had helped them with air covers and all of this, they made them give the property back. And a lot of the Jews was mad. Now, we won this. This is ours. We're going to keep this. The Americans, because of us helping them, told them to give that property back. Well, in giving that property back, what it is, Hamas and all of them have moved in closer and closer, making it harder. This is what they've been doing. They've been giving up property. They've been giving up this and giving back this and giving back that. But it made it harder because the United States has been supporting them. I remember when they needed air cover, I think it was the time Nixon was in office. What happened was they bought so many planes from us, but you know, in order to get to Israel, you got to follow a lot of Arab states to get to them. They say, hey, you're not landing here. So all those planes that they got from us and we've sent to them, those planes had the fuel in the air. They couldn't stop at all to get those planes to Israel. And that's one country that will always Israel to the United States. They had to go through all of that. I hear that some of the best pilots that you do have, because they're always already ducking these flares and things, is the Israeli pilot. And that the IDF, the Israeli Defense Force, you know, whatever they do, they have to do it. And I understand that they have the best, intelligence. They have the best intelligence. They know what's happening. They probably knew what was happening then, but they have to do it in such a way so it's not to arouse the entire world against them. And this is the problem that they have to face anytime they make a move.
They didn't know that Hamas was about to unleash the beast on them.
I think they did, but I think that I have a feeling that they did. But like I said, they have to do it in such a way where now it could have been they were like, you know, that's possible too. But it they have to do it in such a way as to keep the world off of them. Because we have blacks over here talking about how they treated the Palestinians bad. And then a lot of the Palestinians, when they were in those places, the Jews was hiring them, and they were making a decent living. When they gave away all that property and stuff like that, a lot of people, you know, they didn't have any jobs to help them out or anything like that. So wherever they go, they build the economy up. but now they're being sanctioned by the world. You know, you have to buy it to a certain company to get a lot of their products out now. But they're going through an awful lot over there. The sanctions, the world sanctions, the world opinions and things like that because of the Palestinians and all of this. And they keep saying it was never a Palestinian state. And they go back on what the Bible says. The Bible says this. And if you really look at it, what they have done in 1948 has never been done, from my understanding. They got back into the country where they were before. And they're fighting for they're denying the Bible. They're denying everything. You know, and it was President Truman that welcomed them back in as a nation. Britain would not do it. The United States did that. Welcomed them back as a nation.
And that's why a lot of people don't want to evacuate Gaza, because they feel like if they leave, they're not going to be able to get back in.
Yeah.
So that's why a lot
now,
of...
Now, President Carter, yeah. Yeah, President Carter did an awful lot with that. I think he did the Camp David Agreement. He tried to bring them, come together. You know, a lot of his staff left him because they were just a mess. He tried to, when we sent our soldiers over there to try to get our people back, our soldiers got hurt, some got killed, you know, by them. And see, Reagan's going to come in. He said, I'm going to go, and I'm blowing them people out of there. You know, this was his attitude. It was at the last minute when President Carter was, you know, he was voted out of office or whatever, that they turned loose, okay, the soldiers loose and things like that. But I think he did the Camp David Agreement, trying to get them to come together to talk as best he could. And there were some other things that the Israelis tried to do as far as, you know, to keep the suicide bombing down and things that were, you know, going on. But it was always knocked over. They didn't want to deal with it. They just want them out of there. That's all. Get out. This is not your country. And they say that
right.
It is.
Yeah, well, they say
yeah,
Israel.
They keep saying that it was 1903. If they had that country, then Hitler wouldn't have been able to do so much as they could. They had no place to go.
Hmm.
There's a movie with Faye Dunaway, but that ship left Germany, trying to find a place to go all the way down to all the way down past Cuba and all, and no one would accept that ship. No one would, they couldn't get off the ship. They came here to the United States during the time of Franklin Roosevelt, and they wanted just to get off. He said, "Well, his reason was we're already overstaffed and trying to deal with this," and they would not let him. And those people ended up going back to Germany, and a lot of them ended up in the concentration camp. And so they're saying this: we're going to hold on to some piece of dirt, you know, that we can call our own. And that's all I just wanted to say. They have to be very strategic about what they do.
Oh, yeah.
Because of, like, the world. And then look at what happened with Ukraine, you know. Those are Jewish people also fighting like they're doing. There's something that one thing Bishop Diggs did say, he said, listen, that could very well happen here. Don't ever think that we're so, you know, that it couldn't happen here.
Hmm.
I know that it was mentioned one time that Saudi Arabia was so nervous about Iran and Iraq and all of that, that they gave the Jews permission to fly over their airspace. That's what they did. You could fly over our airspace in order to keep us safe, too. We did give them
right.
That permission. Okay, and that's all I just wanted to say for tonight. It's a touchy subject. We know that the only person going to really solve that will be the Lord Jesus when he gets back. Because he got the bomb, you know, so to speak. But it is a touchy subject. And it's sad that they can't get together, you know. And it is purported that they have another major war. Like, they're going to build a temple again, okay? The Mosque of Omar is on the temple site, and that's a Muslim, establishment, you know. One movie that is very interesting that I found very interesting was, what was it called? It was about and I look at it all the time.
what was it about?
Them going over to fight in the wars against fighting the wars over the Holy Land, the Crusades.
Oh, okay.
It's down here. It's a very good movie. And then if you want to look at another movie, look at the movie Exodus. That was made, you know. And they talk about what they had to go through. And and they wanted to try to keep it together. Now, well, we can work this thing out with ourselves, you know. But the hate and the bad feeling was so bad. I wish I had pulled that movie out, too. But he went over there. His father took him there. And he was over some land. And they had it was during the time when the king of England, not England, but of Jerusalem, he was a leper. It's a very good picture if you really get a chance to look at it. And how he had to fight during the Crusades. Saladin, what's his name? He was the Muslim person. And how they kept saying that God has ordered this and all of that. And they kept attacking and killing the Muslim people. And he had to pull it together to make them, you know, and how they fought that war. It was very interesting. Very, very interesting, if you ever get it. I can never remember it, you know. But it's a very good movie. It shows what they went through during the time of the Crusades and all of that. So I just wanted to emphasize that right now the economy is under threat. People have been boycotting their products and things like that. And even when you think of here, a lot of the Jewish people, they're on high alert even here, all in Southfield and Oak Park, you know, where their businesses are. They are under scrutiny also here in the United States. We do have a heavy Muslim population here also. And just something to think about. And thank you so much, Jenny White, for allowing me to rattle on and share. Thanks very much.
No, that's some good information. Never fail to impress. But Israel has responded by pounding Gaza with airstrikes. While the country is expected to launch a ground offensive in the region in the coming days, they're lined up at the border of Gaza. And it says Israel has ordered the complete siege of the Gaza Strip, seeking to stop the supply of electricity, food, water, and fuel to the already blockaded population of roughly 2.3 million people. And as a result of the persistent violence, at least 1,200 Israelis have been killed, with more than 2,700 injured. And according to Israel's military. Meanwhile, the Palestinian Ministry of Health says over 1,200 people in Gaza have been killed, with over 5,700 being injured. And it says the Iron Dome in Israel, or the Kippat Barzel in Hebrew, is widely regarded as one of the most important tools in Israel's arsenal because it's thought to be highly effective. And it's claimed that the Iron Dome has successfully intercepted 90% of all the Palestinian rockets fired during one weekend surge of the Gaza fighting last year, while the system recorded a 95.6% success rate during a rocket attack by the Palestinian Islamic Jihad in May. The militant group, which seeks the destruction of Israel, has been designated a terrorist organization by Israel, the U.S., the European Union, and others. So Israel has the Iron Dome. It was developed by state-owned, system in Washington continues to provide funding for it. So it says that Israel, the IDF, Israel's defense forces, say that the Iron Dome is a compilation of several features: the technology itself, the machinery used to intercept incoming rockets, the soldiers who operate the system and the commanders who supervise the network. So that's what Israel has been using to intercept those rockets. And prior to the Hamas October 7th attack, the U.S. was estimated to have provided nearly $3 billion to Israel for the Iron Dome batteries, interceptors, co-production costs, and general maintenance. And U.S. lawmakers have repeatedly voted in favor of providing funding to Israel's Iron Dome in recent years. So I think the Republicans are kind of have a problem with the and not only funding Israel, but also, well, I don't know that they have a problem with funding Israel. I mean, Trump located the capital, located the, oh, I forgot, I just mentioned it, over in Jerusalem. Israel has been an ally with the America, and so it's going to be a long, bloody battle. So what are your thoughts about that, Jenny? Still there? Taking a drink of water?
Yes. Okay. What did you say?
No, I was just saying, you know, what did you think about the Iron Dome system and the U.S. providing nearly $3 billion to Israel? $3 billion.
How much? I heard somebody say all of that money. But we're trying to help our friends. I still say, I mean, they're fighting, but they're fighting now, and the people that you're fighting are not. So I don't know how that works.
Well,
it just seems as if that they will be gone. You know, they have to do something.
Well, I tell you what, while we're trying to figure out what they're going to do, we're going to take a commercial break. We'll be right back after these messages.
If you are in need of life insurance, auto or home insurance, or need help in getting out of debt, call your helpful insurance agents at Prime Financial Services. Did you know if you add a child rider to your life insurance policy, you can add multiple children for the price of one, starting at $10,000 worth of coverage for under $10. Call today for a free quote at 313-293-0979. Mention you heard this ad on this show for a free gift.
Lions Clubs International is a service or membership organization of over 1.7 million members worldwide. It was founded in 1916 in Illinois. Much of the focus of the Lions Club's work as a service club organization is to raise money for worthy causes as first responders. The Lions Club motto is "We Serve." Local Lions Club programs include sight conservation, hearing and speech conservation, diabetes awareness, youth outreach, international relations, environmental issues, and many other programs. The Lions acronym also stands for Liberty, Intelligence, Our Nation's Safety. For more information, contact us at LionsClubs.org.
Is your food bland and you want to spice it up? Does it taste like something is missing? What's missing is my seasoning, Butch's Bodacious Seasoning, all-purpose seasoning, good on absolutely everything but ice cream. I'm Linda Porter, President and CEO of Butcher's Bodacious Seasoning. To get the spice back in your life, call me at 313-393-2738. You won't regret it. Thank you.
Good evening.
All right, welcome. We are back, and okay, can't stop this thing. All right.
Can I say something?
Yeah, go ahead. What do you want to say?
Okay, I just found it. It's by Ridley Scott. I like Ridley Scott. It's called The Kingdom of Heaven. When he talks about what happened in the Crusades, and it's very, you know, he put together The Gladiator, and I like his movies are very good.
Okay.
But it's called The Kingdom of Heaven. It shows you all the what took place in the you know, Jerusalem and the countries around there, and between the Muslims and the Christians, and how they've been fighting during the time of the Crusades. It's a very, very good movie. He puts it on very well. You see the battles and things of that nature. I would strongly suggest this movie. The Kingdom of Heaven, that's what he called.
All right. I'm going to have to check that
out.
Thanks again. Oh, yeah, you can participate.
And also,
yeah.
Beg your pardon?
No, I said you can hang around, participate. We're having you around. You're having some good, thoughtful communication. You know, it's just like we talk about Hezbollah, like Hamas is designated a terrorist group by the U.S. and other countries, and both share an antipathy towards Israel. And Hamas says it belongs to the Sunni branch of Islam, along with the majority of the Islamic world, and Hezbollah ascribed to the Shia branch like Iran, so has longer running ties to the Islamic Republic. So formed in the aftermath of the 1982 Lebanon War, Hezbollah was established as an umbrella group for the country's disparate Shiite factions, and its fighters were trained in part by forces from Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guards Corps. So in the 1990s, Hezbollah adopted a more formal political role in Lebanon and has become a prominent faction in that country's ruling alliance. And Hamas has been non-elected and running things in Gaza, which has really caused a problem between Israel and Palestine. So that's what we're dealing with right now over in the Middle East. And I think we've got this is going to, they're going to try to end it as soon as possible, but I think this might draw out for a while. I think this might be real political. But that's what we're dealing with in Israel, in Gaza. So this has been going on for over 70 years. It's been a long time. And Palestinians are feeling like stepchildren. They aren't getting any love. They've been misplaced. You know, feel like they have a state of their own. And Israel say, well, you can stay there. You just have to be demilitarized. You can't have any organized militia that will threaten us or army. And so just been a big thing. It's been a big controversy. So we're going to see how this plays out. The U.S. supports Israel, and see how it affects the other Arab nations surrounding Syria, Jordan, Saudi Arabia. I think that it's just something else, a sign of the times, where these things are coming to a head. I think that at some point, that, you know, like you said, these things can happen in the U.S. You know, I think a lot of people are gearing up for a civil war. And so I think that we have to be prepared for that type of confrontation in the near future. I think it's going
to
be.
Yeah, I think they're just waiting to do that anyway. I really do.
Waiting,
and it's going
what?
To be. Just waiting
what?
To fight with us. I think we might have it sooner than we want.
Yeah, I think I think that it's something that we definitely have to pay attention to. I don't think, you know, we want to be caught on the short end of the stick or be caught at a disadvantage. So I think that we can actually learn something from this war between Israel and Hamas. Hamas is been deemed a terrorist group, and they have shown themselves to be quite ruthless without regard to hey, I mean, it's war. And so in war, they're killing your mama, your grandmama, your baby, you know, anybody else that, you know. I saw a video where they threw a grenade, you know, they got people hiding out in little places. They threw a grenade in the cave that the people were hiding in, the little area the people were hiding in. You know, I saw one person run out. But then they showed the inside of the place shortly after the bomb went off. And all you could see is, you know.
Bodies.
Well, they didn't show the bodies. They showed a lot of blood on the wall. I'm sure it was bodies in there. And a lot of holes in the wall and a lot of blood on the ground and on the walls. And so whoever was in there got murdered. So there's been some gruesome footage and videos. In regards to what they've been doing, and they want you to know they've got these hostages, and so they're, you know, they want to negotiate that. And I think there was a point where Israel they said I can't think of who they were at war with, but they let go 1,000 prisoners for one Israeli soldier. So I'm sure that Hamas feels they have some leverage right now. Mm-hmm. But once Israel starts picking up this bombing in Gaza and brings in these ground troops, it's going to be a lot more casualties, a lot more deaths. So.
Oh, yes. And whose radio is that? Can you hear it?
No, I can't hear it.
Oh, I hear it. And I know it's not mine.
Okay. Well, the only two people's mics, well, the only people's mics that are alive is Sister Lucy's, yours and mine. So so is one of us. And
is
it ain't
that
me.
You, Lucy?
Let me cut off the fan. Maybe that's it.
Uh-huh, see.
Well, you keep the fan on because we about to We about to go. So
that's
any,
right.
any last words, Sister Lucy?
Well, just that it's a lot for us to pray about, to fast and pray about, not only for the Israelis, but for ourselves also. And something like that, you know, we've had so many problems in our country that we would have to come together to unite in order to stand against something like that. Who knows, you know, any type of thing that would upset us. Because he has, my understanding is President Biden has said we will be supported. So we do have a heavy Muslim population here.
Well, it seemed like we united around 9/11. You know, it seemed we the country united against that. And they consider this Israel's 9/11. And so my final thoughts are keep your eyes on the prize. I mean, it's, you know, the war is in the news every day, all day. So I think that it's important for us to understand the reason for the conflict. That way we'll have a better understanding of what led up to what's going on right now. But yeah, this is what they are considering a holy war. Jenny White, final thoughts.
I just like to say the difference between school and life. In school, you're taught a lesson and then given a test. In life, you're giving a test that teaches you a lesson. So we ought to be learning right now and seeing what all is going on. We have to know. And we have to understand that something may come here. So,
something may be here. I don't think it's coming. I think it's already here. I think it's just a matter of when. The rubber meets the road.
That's it, man. Yeah.
Well.
Yep.
All right. Well, it has been a great show again. And thank our hostess with the mostest, Sister Lucy.
I
have to call you the brain. Yeah, Lucy, you got a lot of time studying. So
to read.
Gave us some education.
And cut the radio off next time.
Well, I can't hear it.
I can.
All right. Well, I'm about to play the music so we can get out of here. So I'll be taking off tomorrow going to Dallas. So I'll be in Dallas for a few days. So I will see you guys same time, same place next week. We'll have another good subject to talk about. Maybe we'll have something lighthearted, talk about relationships or something. Talk about women and men. You know, something good.
We'll have a what is it? Comedy show. That would be funny. Yeah.
All right. Well, it's been real. I will see everybody next week. Thanks for tuning in. And without further ado.
Okay.